You're listening to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like history, the visual arts, communications, and comparative religion. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
On this program, we're talking with composer, musician, and sound artist Holly Herndon, whose most recent full-length album, Proto, was released in 2019. We're also talking with Matt Dryhurst, a musician, researcher, and artist who also teaches at NYU's Clive Davis Institute of Music, the Strelka Institute, and the European Graduate School, and hosts discussions with figures shaping 21st century culture on the Interdependence podcast.
Thank you so much for talking with us today. I wanted to talk a little bit about how the rest of the world can come and interact with Holly Plus. One of my weird obsessions is reading want ads and trying to understand people from the things they're looking for. And there's always people looking for bandmates, right? There's always, I need a bass player, I need a lead singer. So I understand how Holly Plus would be so appealing to musicians, but practically, let's say I was doing open mic and I can play guitar, but I can't sing. Can I get Holly Plus with me on the open mic and have those MP3s? Are there restrictions on people using Holly Plus or performing with Holly Plus, recording with Holly Plus?
At the moment, Holly Plus is entirely free and open to use. So you can have a concert with Holly Plus, you can make a record with Holly Plus, you can pretty much do anything you want with Holly Plus, and it's yours, and you're free to do that. At the moment, you wouldn't be able to sing live through Holly Plus. She would have to be kind of pre-recorded on your backing track, but we're working on making a real-time system possible.
At the moment, really, maybe the best analogy for where Holly Plus is at, Holly Plus is kind of like an instrument at this point in time. There are a few things we're working on very soon that will allow for vocal articulations that might make it more analogous to a singing voice. That's kind of in the plan, and ultimately we feel like that's kind of an inevitability. But for right now, anyone can experiment with it, and we're kind of seeing this phase as a little bit of like a test phase of just seeing like what the demand is. It's really curious how people are using it.
And also how we feel about it.
Yeah. Well, most importantly, how you feel about it.
Well, that's the really interesting thing about this version of Holly Plus, because language is not a part of it, and you can still very much hear the kind of neural network quality in the instrument itself. It's a little bit easier to kind of open that up and make that freely available to anyone. I think it becomes a more difficult decision once Holly Plus starts to actually sound one-to-one like my speaking voice and singing voice. So that's kind of a bridge that we'll have to cross in the future, but we're kind of thinking about those questions right now.
How do you work toward that point? I mean, is this more machine learning? I mean, are you just continuing to teach this model?
Well, ultimately, there'll be separate models. So when we discuss the code stuff, the public presentation of this will be under one banner. But in actuality, different models are good at different things, and different transformers and so on. It's a very different approach to, for example, invite Holly Plus to sing a line in a pitch that you determine, that sing words that you wrote, is very, very different to the style transfer process that we're using currently, which will basically take like a guitar line and turn it into Holly's voice. Fundamentally, in the not too distant future, all of these things will fall under the same banner, but those are actually very, very different challenges.
Mm-hmm. So in a sense, and again, this is more for the benefit of the listener who may not have had an opportunity to go and listen to all this stuff, what your model now, in a sense, is more abstract. When it's singing, it's more like doo-wop than it is singing actual lyrics. That's something that it sounds like you're trying to think about ahead of time, because it's one thing for people to upload their audio files and have a more abstracted vocal representation come back to them from your model. But it's different if someone uploads a bunch of homophobic, racist, neo-Nazi lyrics that would then come back sung in your voice with lyrics.
Exactly. I mean, this is a huge consideration. Of course, we've thought about, okay, you know, you can have certain words that the model just refuses to sing. You can kind of pre-program that. But people are very creative, and they often find workarounds with combinations of different words. So I feel like ultimately that is kind of an unstoppable thing. So one thing that we're thinking about is the ability to certify or authenticate specific pieces of media that we approve. So we've been working on this idea of a DAO, which is a decentralized autonomous organization. So for listeners who are not familiar with that, it's kind of like an online co-op that you can organize. And so with this community of people, we hope to be able to steward the official usage of the voice. So while we still want to leave the option open to the wider public to be able to kind of do whatever they want with the voice, we want to have a kind of certain channel of official use cases so people will know the difference between these, you know, potentially hazardous uses and then the approved uses.
So in a sense, that would be like community moderation of the voice. That's pretty gutsy.
Well, the thing is, it's gutsy, but I feel like the sad thing, but just the reality of this, is that this is coming fast. So in a way, our whole premise for the past few years has been to just take as our base assumption that in a few years' time, from the voice that you guys have been sharing with us right now, I could create a model from you and I could speak in your likeness tonight. We've known
that is not a threat, by the way.
No, yeah, exactly. I'm leaving the session. No, but the point is that, you know, we've been operating from the assumption that this is just going to happen because we know that we can do it ourselves, and it's only a matter of time before everybody has the ability to do it. And so, as gut-wrenching or as kind of scary as that scenario is, we feel our best approach is to jump out in front of it and at least try and kind of wrestle some control on the situation, understanding that nobody right now has come up with a pretty good or convincing solution for verifying a real person versus their likeness. So while the situation, you can think of a million scenarios that it would be really bad, I think they're probably going to happen anyway. The actual real challenge is figuring out a way in which it could be good and being able to determine if someone says something crazy online, you can trace back and see whether Holly approved that or not. And if she didn't, then it's on them.
It's like someone taking your image and doing something crazy in Photoshop. You can't control that.
That's the sort of negative side, but obviously you're doing this because you think it's awesome and cool. So what would be the positive side of that? It's one thing if someone wants a backup singer or to have an accompaniment, say, in a performance, but what is it that a person would do that would be so awesome about this besides just the sort of experimental value of it? I don't know if that's a good question.
That's a great question. I mean, we've been kind of fantasizing about, you know, what if we were collaborating with thousands of people around the world through this Holly Plus model? And what if we were in a band with hundreds of people or thousands of people? And what if they were having their own concerts? And what if someone wrote something so compelling with Holly Plus that we wanted to perform that in our own concerts? And then that became a kind of back and forth with the fans or with collaborators. So in a way, it kind of opens up the practice in a way that we haven't been able to do in the past.
And that's part of the idea behind the co-op is ultimately, you know, when you think about the most chaotic components of where this could go, that's quite easy to think about, right? But one of the great benefits of this kind of online co-op model is also just the coordination possibilities, right? If you had hundreds of people contributing to a catalog of works that are created with Holly Plus that have been approved, you can imagine seeing a scenario where someone could be performing those works in Rio de Janeiro tonight and someone can be performing in London at the same time, right? There's all these kind of different possibilities that come from you all having a shared kind of investment and interest in that character. And what's kind of interesting about this, obviously, is that Holly Plus fundamentally is a character, right? Like Holly Plus is a kind of fictional twin that happens to be modeled after a real person. But there's so much more you can do with that character, particularly when more people are invested in that character and more people are experimenting with it than we could possibly do with Holly, who disappointingly is just one person in space. And this is kind of a parallel conversation, is that kind of common or collective stewardship of a character or of a band, we personally see that as happening. It's another inevitability. And so thinking about ways to deal with stickiness of IP, thinking about also just the drama that could transpire between like Holly and Holly Plus.
And also just the ability to explore entirely new identities by being able to perform characters in a specific way, I think is really empowering and exciting.
What do you mean by stickiness of IP?
It's tricky in the case of the Holly Plus project. I mean, Holly, actually, her doctoral thesis was based on IP considerations with vocal likenesses. So this has been worked out for a long time. But it's a sticky area for intellectual property because we haven't really had an analogous technological development before. One analogy some people use is sampling, which is a very imperfect analogy because we've been using the term spawning rather than sampling. Sampling is kind of like you're able to mechanically reproduce something and maybe you can change the pitch in it a little bit, but it's basically what it was. Spawning is being able to say, no, I can analyze who you are and I can spawn new artworks from you. We don't really have a legal framework or a moral ethical framework for what that is. I mean, we're still catching up with sampling and piracy, right? We don't know what that means. And so fortunately, with working with Holly, who's really interested in this, we get to experiment because fundamentally decisions that we make or that Holly makes, we're responsible for, right? It's our IP, it's Holly's IP, it's Holly's likeness. But this is going to turn into a total minefield where you can already go online, for example, and create songs with Kanye West's voice using a very different technique. But we're in kind of uncharted territory. It'll be very interesting to see where people take this. Our approach, in a sense, is saying, look on the bright side of things, like find the silver lining. More people wanting to experiment with a public figure's voice is good. We just need to figure out the mechanisms to make that work out for everybody. But at the same time, there's going to be a lot of people who are really upset about it, and there's going to be lawsuits.
I think that social model is a really valuable part of what is awesome about this project. You know, when we've been talking to people about some of the tech trends like machine learning or being able to create deep fakes or whatever, everybody acknowledges that we need really sensible regulation. We need to think about how to avoid the bad, chaotic, possible dystopian futures with all of this, but that our governmental systems are currently probably not capable of grappling with all the issues around this and passing legislation. And so creating a model like this, where you have a community invested in responsible use, and where other artists can say, here's how I want to be spawned or duplicated or represented. If people are going to do this, here's the ways that you can approach it. I guess the other part of it is that there's sort of an international whack-a-mole where something might be legal in one country, but not legal in another country. And so setting up something that can be used transnationally, responsibly, and with full consent of the artist, that's really huge. I mean, that's sort of leapfrogging over all the governments of the world to create this. And I think that's incredibly valuable.
Thank you.
Are there other artists who are interested in adopting your IP DAO management model?
Well, there are certainly artists who are interested in using Holly Plus, and they have been using Holly Plus creatively. In terms of our DAO structure, that's something that we're honestly still working out and figuring out. You know, you spoke to the fact that governments are kind of slow sometimes to respond to the needs of current technologies. And that's one thing that, you know, we're kind of like ramming up against now, trying to figure out the correct legal structure for the DAO. And I think I figured it out, but I'm having to read, you know, really difficult legal document. You know, it's not an easy thing. So I hope that once we fully figure it all out, that we can then make those learnings public so that other people can hopefully follow in our footsteps. And also, there's a huge community of DAO lovers, largely on Twitter, who I'm able to reach out to and ask people, you know, what's your experience with this? How did you set this up? And so it's kind of a thing that's happening now. It's kind of in process. People are learning by doing. You know, Matt and I have been thinking about these questions academically for several years, and it's not really until you kind of start trying to put those answers into practice that you learn all of the intricacies of the issues that come up. So that's why we wanted to just jump in and give it a go.
Yeah, exactly. It's also what's kind of funny is that in a way, there's some nice symmetry between how new a lot of this machine learning AI stuff is and how new a lot of these kind of decentralized governance technologies are, that weirdly, what's nice working between those two worlds is, in a sense, you can kind of forget that the rest of the world exists. Of course it of course it does. And if we were dealing with somebody else's intellectual property or someone else's likeness, it would be a whole other consideration. But because it's kind of in family, in a strange way, we can kind of pilot this as a different economic system elsewhere. And so, for example, a lot of these disputes around like IP came up a lot around the NFT moment that was happening in the last year. And that's another great case in point, right? Where like people coming from a traditional system of intellectual property are looking at it and being like, well, you could just screenshot it. What does this matter? And then people in the NFT world are saying, no, we're creating, you know, this immutable ledger of interactions and agreements between people, and the government will catch up. We're definitely in that camp of trying to come up with a great system. Unfortunately, we can do that because we own the IP. You know, we're not taking liberties with anybody else.
But those days are coming.
Oh, yeah, they're coming. They're here.
This has just been a fascinating discussion, and speaking for myself, boy, the time is flying by. Matt, Holly, thank you so much for being with us today to talk about Holly Plus and the other aspects of machine learning. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thanks for the thorough and lovely questions.
And if you would like more information about Holly Herndon and her projects, you can visit hollyherndon.com. Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM-FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance from Tristan Klum.